T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back on the Fan, we get you set for week 2 of fantasy football action. And joining me right now is Dave Richard of CBS. Dave, how you been?
I'm doing all right. I'd be doing better if I didn't run into A.J. Green on Thursday night.
Well, can I give you the perspective of somebody who owns A.J. Green? I'm only in 2 leagues. I own him in both. I'm big on A.J. Green. I'm going to make you, I think, feel better. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right. For a guy that got in the end zone 3 times, and did it early, by the way, you know, it wasn't exactly the monster fantasy night that it could have been, considering he got in the end zone 3 times. So does that make you feel better at all?
No, because I'm still in the hole big, because each touchdown counts 6 points in my league. 6 times 3, that's 18. Still had a bunch of yards on top of it and a bunch of catches. No, it does not make me feel that much better.
I got to tell you, I mean, you're going to think I'm nuts. You think I'm the fat kid who's hungry and is still hungry even after eating 7 cakes? I felt as if, yeah, it was great. I mean, sure, he exceeded the projections, no doubt about it. You know, a 27-point night, depending on the kind of league you're in, that's great. But, you know, 5 catches, 69 yards, it could have been more. I'm expecting a 45-point night. So I didn't even feel fully satisfied, Dave.
Well, you are tough to please, Evan. That is certainly for sure.
What do you think, a couple of things from a fantasy perspective on the Raven-Bengal game from Thursday night, about Andy Dalton? He throws 4 touchdown passes. Give me your thoughts on Andy fantasy-wise moving forward, as he's obviously off to a pretty good start.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the big differences between last year and this year for the Bengals is that they're giving Andy Dalton time to throw. That offensive line is protecting him better, and that's even after they lost their rookie center, Billy Price, in the first half of the game. He should be okay eventually, and when he does come back, that'll just make the line even stronger. Some nice matchups coming up for him against that Carolina secondary in week 3. Miami's defense could be tough for him at home in week 5, although he does have a nice track record against them. I think as long as Dalton has time to throw, and given the receivers that he's got, obviously A.J. Green is there, but also Tyler Boyd, John Ross is a deep threat, can take the top off the defense, keep guys open underneath. I think it helps give Dalton some staying power as a low-end starter in fantasy. I'm not expecting him to have another 4 touchdown game anytime soon, though.
Why do you think Coach Harbaugh hates Alex Collins? I mean, think about it. He keeps taking the ball out of his hands. First it was Kenneth Dixon, then he gets hurt. And even on Thursday night, it was kind of the same thing. Why are they not feeding Alex Collins more?
You know, I bet they're wondering that themselves. You know, they've had a couple of days to think after the game, and I wonder if they start to put the run back in focus on offense there. Collins looked good. I know he didn't average a great number on the ground, but through the air, he caught 3 passes for 55 yards and looked physical when he ran with the ball. Look, I think they trust Javoris Allen in that goal line situation. He's been doing it for a long time for them. Collins kind of split it with him toward the end of last season, but really Allen doesn't fumble at the same rate that Alex Collins did, and that's probably the reason why Harbaugh doesn't want to lean on Collins even more, because he doesn't want him to turn the ball over. Coaches are paranoid about that type of thing. So it's going to take Alex Collins getting more opportunities, which I think he'll get moving forward, but having to hold on to the football. And if he fumbles one more time, I could see Harbaugh saying, you know what, it's going to permanently stay this way, where he's a part-time player, Buck Allen's a part-time player, and our run game will run through both of those guys, not just one of them.
We're talking to Dave Richard. You can follow him at Dave Richard as we get you set for week 2 in fantasy. Amari Cooper was a disappointment last year, and he was a disappointment week 1, but would it make you feel good that John Gruden kind of addressed it? He basically called out Derek Carr about it. So how would you feel about Cooper? I know Denver's a tough matchup, but Amari in general, after, you know, even the coach acknowledges the ball isn't going his way enough.
Yeah, but the coach acknowledged that he was going to be the big part of their passing game and of their offense in general. And then week 1, he barely gets targeted in the game. So what John Gruden says and what John Gruden does aren't necessarily in lockstep. And this matchup is tough for Amari Cooper. I think what we need to see from the Raiders is the continued use of other players in the passing game. That'll free up the coverage on Amari Cooper, because right now defenses know. All right, Amari Cooper, John Gruden talked about, we know how dangerous he is as a wide receiver. We got to put our focus on him. If they get beat by Jordy Nelson or Jared Cook, defenses will live with that. But they can only live with that for so long, because once those guys consistently beat up defenses, that's when they're going to say, all right, we got to do something about Jordy and Jared Cook, and that's when things could open up for Amari Cooper. If you drafted him, you got to play the long game with him. It's going to be more than just a couple of weeks of bad games before you do something drastic. You can get away from him in week two. But moving forward, he's got a matchup at Miami in week three. Maybe that's one where he can open up. And if that's not it, then week four, home against Cleveland, should be a matchup where you really see Amari Cooper take off.
I noticed in a lot of leagues that Jared Cook was undrafted, which I think makes him a valuable waiver pickup. What do you make of him? Because he did have a big fantasy day in which he, you know, had 180 yards receiving. He didn't get in the end zone, which he hasn't done a lot throughout his career. But do you read a lot into how many times he was targeted and the numbers he put up in week one for the Raiders?
Evan, I don't think the targets are going to be that high every single week, but you can't ignore what he's done. And it was actually a career-high 180 yards receiving for Jared Cook, who's it seems like he's been in the NFL forever, just as long as he's been there. And he's been an underachiever for so long, so a lot of fantasy owners are not rushing to trust him. But what if I told you he had half of the targets? What if he had six targets per week? And what if he caught four or five of them per week? And in this offense where the Raiders are going to play from behind, maybe those numbers will be actually a little bit higher than that, because Jared Cook, like I said, he's going to be in single coverage frequently. I can kind of buy into him as a week-to-week type of player, not somebody that I'm going to, you know, cut all my other tight ends for and say, all right, this is the guy I'm going with. But if I just lost Greg Olsen, or if I just let go of Delanie Walker because he got hurt, both those guys are hurt, then I'm going to go toward Jared Cook because I see the targets, and I think that the Raiders are going to continually play from behind a lot. Their defense is not very good. Yes, that's when I would buy into Jared Cook.
Hey, on a personal note, I drafted Travis Kelce. You talk about a guy that gave you nothing in week one. I mean,
sure,
my God.
Sure, but you're not ready to let go of Travis Kelce
for
Jared Cook.
No, I'm just bemoaning it. I would never do that. I'm just, you know what I'm doing, Dave? I'm just complaining. That's it. I'm just bitching and moaning about the fact that he gave me a half a point in week one. That's all. That's it.
And I don't know how good he'll be in week two either against Pittsburgh. That's at his number.
That's a very fair point. I'll give you another guy that jumped out at me, and I remember last year his name was mentioned a lot because he's a rookie, and you know a lot of guys fall in love with rookies trying to project what they'll be. And he was one of the bright spots in what was an all-around terrible game for the Lions, and that's Kenny Galladay. I mean, he was targeted a bunch of times. He put up some big yards, had a decent fantasy night. What's your expectation for Galladay moving forward?
Well, I think the Detroit Lions have realized just how dangerous of a player he can be, and I think they're comfortable with him. But I would still caution you, Evan. I'm not sure he's going to get 12 targets per week. I'm not sure Matthew Stafford is going to throw the ball 46 times. The Lions combined between Stafford and Matt Castle in week one threw the ball 52 times against the New York Jets because the Jets managed to build a lead, which is pretty stunning given the way that Sam Darnold's career started with that interception. I'm getting off base. The bottom line is this. Detroit has a hard time running the football. So Stafford's going to attempt at least 30 passes week in, week out. You can set your watch to it. It could get as high as 40 because that run game is so inept. That opens the door for Kenny Galladay. If he's in single coverage, we're talking about a 6'2 wide receiver who's got some good speed on top of him, and he's not making as many mistakes as he did as a rookie. And believe me, as a rookie, he started off red hot in week one. He had two touchdowns in his very first game, and then he got hurt, and he wasn't quite as effective. I think he's starting to reach his potential. Love the idea of going to grab him off the waivers if he's still there, keeping him on your bench to see what happens. He could, in time, take over for Marvin Jones as the number one outside threat in Detroit's passing game.
Talking to Dave Richard, you can follow him at Dave Richard and at CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ. Obviously, it's too late. We're at the weekend, but who were some of the hot waiver pickups that you think were smart waiver pickups for those owners that were aggressive this week?
Well, I'll tell you, I think people that picked up T.J. Yeldon, they're going to benefit with Leonard Fournette. I don't think he's expected to play, and even if he does, he's not going to be at 100%. And then you've also got, thinking of his name off the top of my head, Philip Lindsay. I'm sorry.
Yes, from Denver, sure.
Phillip Lindsay from Denver is somebody that everybody else picked up, but I think he's a guy that you keep on your bench. But it's not too late to pick up some players that do have some sleeper potential moving forward. And we talked about Kenny Golladay and the impact that Golladay can have in his offense. What if Tampa Bay had an offensive receiver like that? Chris Godwin, available in over half of CBS Sports leagues, still out there on the waiver wire in a ton of formats. I think he could end up being a great pickup. I also think DJ Moore, the rookie wide receiver in Carolina, he should get more opportunities now with Greg Olsen off the field. Those targets are going to go somewhere else. They're not all going to go to Devin Funchess. They're not going to go to their rookie tight end, Ian Thomas. DJ Moore is somebody that I think people can pick up, stash, and see where he can get you in a week or two.
For the daily fantasy players, who is a good value quarterback to ride that can give you some big points? I mean, if you said Ryan Fitzpatrick last week, you were brilliant. You were a genius. Who's the Ryan Fitzpatrick of week two?
What about the quarterback going up against Ryan Fitzpatrick's team? And that would be Nick Foles of the Philadelphia Eagles. No one's going to be on him after the weak outing that he had against Atlanta. I know the Eagles won, but he didn't score a lot of points in the game. The Buccaneers are starting two rookie cornerbacks, and the third cornerback in their offense is Angel Ryan Smith, not a great player. Nick Foles should have great protection in the pocket, and just like Andy Dalton against Baltimore, should be able to throw a bunch of touchdowns, and his price is cheap. Another quarterback who was good in, or was bad, rather, in week one, should be good in week two. Big bounce-back game for Jimmy Garoppolo. His price tag is nice and low. Against that Lions secondary, I would expect him to have a very good game.
You think Sam Bradford bounces back? Because one thing about Sam is when he plays, he's usually good. It's just that he's always hurt. Last week was not pretty.
No, and I don't think this week is going to be pretty either. His offensive line isn't that strong, and he's taken on the Rams in L.A. That's a defensive front led by Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. That's a dangerous duo, and he doesn't have a lot of great receivers around him. Of course, he's got Larry Fitzgerald. But Larry Fitzgerald is toward the end of his career, and David Johnson's going to do his thing. But outside of those two guys, what's left? Ricky Fields-Jones? Chad Williams? No, thank you. I think he's fool's gold in FanDuel and DraftKings, at least for this week.
Who's a good value running back that you think makes sense this week?
Well, Tevin Coleman should top the list now that we know that Devontae Freeman not expected to play. I think Coleman's price tag is great. He could be this week's James Conner. Difficult matchup going up against Carolina. They're typically good against the run. But Coleman has a 100% success rate in fantasy when he's the guy in Atlanta's backfield. And personally, I think he could be auditioning for a bigger role for the rest of the season now that he's got a chance to play without Devontae Freeman. He's going to be in a lot of lineups.
Is it too obvious to ride the Charger defense because of who they're going up against, Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills?
No, not at all. Now, there is a little bit of risk to it because you know that they're traveling across the country. They don't have Joey Bosa. There is a chance that they could let you down a little bit. Josh Allen's going to throw a bunch in the game. When he does throw, I would say about a third of his passes will be catchable. Maybe he comes up with a touchdown or two, but still, we'll turn the ball over. That's good for the Chargers. You know, the Chargers were the team that Nathan Peterman started against last year, and Peterman threw five
That's
interceptions
right.
in the first half. So I think the Chargers are pretty familiar with what Buffalo's got going. I think they'll be pretty good.
That is very true. You know, looking back at everyone's draft, Deshaun Watson was drafted very, very high. He is coming off an ACL injury. He was not good week one. Where do you stand right now on Deshaun Watson at this point?
I'm still riding with him, but I am nervous about him long-term because that offensive line in Houston, I thought they'd be okay. It turns out that they were really bad, and they suffered a big injury right off the bat against the Patriots in week one. It's going to hurt him, and I'm wondering just if he's going to continue to drop back in the pocket and wait all day to let go of the football. Eventually, defenses are going to catch up with him, and they're going to knock him around. So Deshaun Watson, for now, yes, you're going to start him. Hopefully, he's got some speed at wide receiver this week to help him out, and he can attack downfield. But eventually, I don't know if he's going to be as great because of his health. I'm carrying a second quarterback in all the leagues where I've got Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I think you have to. I think that's the smart play, absolutely. Dave, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for popping on.
You got it, Evan. Good luck in your leagues this week.
Thank you, sir. You too. Dave Richard, at Dave Richard, at CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.